Now, this poem, I wonder how long it's going to take. I can't figure out whether to read one or two. Okay, I'm going to say this for the last then. Let me hook this one onto that thematic group I read you very loosely. This is a poem about the creativity, really about the creativity in the universe, which somehow or other, if you're creative in any way, and there are thousands of ways to be creative, you hit dry spells, no matter what it is, what you're doing. And when you're not looking for it, sometimes the universe presents you with something, in this case, a poem, but could be anything, because there's just something in it that does that. The only thing I should do is identify Ted Wise, probably for some of you. He's a poet. Ted Wise, who's mentioned in the poem, is a poet. This is called Moose in the Morning, Northern Maine. At 6 a.m., the log cabins nose an immense cow pie of mist that lies on the lake. 19 pale goldfinches perch side by side on the telephone wire that runs to shore. And under them, the camp cow, her bones pointing this way and that, is collapsed like a badly constructed pup tent in the dark weeds. Inside, I am building a fire in the old wood stove with its rod overhead for hunter's clothes to steam on. I am hunting for nothing. Perhaps the three cold pencils that lie on the table like kindling could go in to start the logs. I remember Ted Wise saying, quote, "At the exhibition, I suddenly realized Picasso had to remake everything he laid his eyes on into an art object. He couldn't let the world alone. Since then, I don't write every morning," unquote. The world is warming and lightening, and mist on the pond dissolves into bundles and ribbons. At the end of my dock, there comes clear, bared by the gentle burning, a monstrous hulk with thorny head, up to his chest in the water, mist wreathing round him. Grander and grander grows the sun until he gleams, his brown coat glistens, the great rack 5 feet wide throws sparks of light. A ton of monarch munching, he stands spotlit. Then slowly, gravely, the great neck lowers head and 40 pounds of horn to sip the lake. The sun stains the belittled cow's hide amber. She heaves her bones and bag, and her neck bell gongs as she gets to her feet in yellow blooms of squawweed. On the telephone wire, all the little golden bells are ringing as that compulsive old scribbler, the universe, jots down another day.